morning, boys and girls. Good to see you all here this Sabbath. And well, today I have a story to tell you, or that's from the Bible. And first of all, I want to ask you, have you ever heard of a soldier before? You have? Mm-hmm. Well, did you know each country has their own soldiers? Yeah? I'll show you a picture. Picture of an Italian army from Italy. Here's a picture of French army from France. Yeah, it kind of looks like an Italian army. And here's a picture from England, English soldiers. Yeah. And then here's a picture of American soldiers. Yeah. But here's also another picture of American soldiers, but these are women. Did you know women can be in the army too? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you about God's army, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 6. And Jesus has his army. Did you know that? And do you know who is in Jesus' army? The angels, yes. Who else could be in Jesus' army? People. Could boys and girls be in Jesus' army? Yes. Can you all be in Jesus' army? Yes. How many of you want to be in Jesus' army? Yes. Yeah, and it can't. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus talks about you being his soldier. And I have these little felts to show you what Jesus arms us with to be his soldier. Here's a soldier. And it could be a girl or a boy, but we have a boy here. And Jesus in chapter 6 of Ephesians says that we need to arm ourselves from an enemy. Do you know who that enemy might be? Yes, yes. Okay. And we want to be on Jesus' side. We might have to see a little bit. We want to be on Jesus' side. Now, a soldier protects their country, right?
Yes.
Right. And you want to protect your heavenly country, right? Your heavenly home. You want to protect Jesus. Because you all raised your hands that you wanted to be in Jesus' army, right? So here's the soldier. He wants, and Jesus says how to protect ourselves from, the Bible says that Satan throws fiery darts from the wicked one. It might be fiery darts of cheating, of stealing. Can you think of another fiery dart that Jesus might throw, or Satan might throw? Pardon? Kill it? Well, there's more. There's hatred. That could be a fiery dart. It just could go on and on. Jealousy. Love of the world could be a fiery dart that Satan would throw. But if a soldier isn't armed, do you think he might get hit by those fiery darts? Oh, yes. So Jesus talks about we need armor to protect our heavenly home and protect Jesus and protect others that love him. The Bible says in verse 13 to put on the whole armor of God. And first we're to gird our waist with truth. How many of you like to be truthful? Yes. Yeah, now the devil is the father of lies. He doesn't like truth. And then it goes on to say, having put on a breastplate of righteousness. Do you know what righteousness is? Right doing. How many of you like to do what's right? Yes, we don't like to do what's wrong. And then next we shred our feet with the preparation of the gospel. You know the gospel? Do you know what the gospel is? Good news. The good news that Jesus is our Savior. We need a Savior, right? So we're to prepare our feet with the preparation of the gospel, knowing that He is our Savior. And we're to put on a helmet of salvation. That means we remember that we are Jesus' child and He is saving us. Can we save ourselves? No. And then we're supposed to have the shield of faith. Faith means that we will trust Jesus to help and save us. Faith. And do you think the soldier needs to have a weapon? Every soldier has to have a weapon, right? You know what our Christian weapon is? A sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And does anyone know what the sword of the Spirit is? A knife? No. Any other ideas? Oops. Brayden? The Bible. The sword of the Spirit is the Bible. And that's how we fight all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because he'll come to us with hatred or love of the world, pride. We have pride here, lying, cheating, all the things that Satan will throw in our lives. But we're Christian soldiers. We want to put on the whole armor of God and follow Jesus. And how many of you want to put that whole armor on every day to be truthful, righteous, know that he's working out our salvation, and faith and trust in him that he will see us through. Good. Well, let's pray. Okay? Dear Father, we just thank you for your word, the sword of the Spirit. We thank you for your working in our lives, and you saw the children raise their hands that they want to follow you and be soldiers for you. Bless these children. Keep them in your care till they see you coming in the clouds of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back here.
It's now our time to come to the throne of grace. So if you have a special request, put it on the blue card and bring it down to the front. Join me down here.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Father, this morning we are coming humbly before you, praising your holy name, and we want to be reverent as we kneel here before you. You're the God of the universe. You have all power, and yet you are all loving at the same time, and we are thankful for that. We ask for your mercy and forgiveness for where we have fallen short this past week, where we have sinned and broken your law. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us into the paths of righteousness. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be here in a special way, to speak through Brian this morning. Give him words from heaven for us. Help us to open our ears to listen closely to your voice. And Lord, I want to lift up these cards that I have in my hands. Special requests, special needs, special things on people's hearts. You know what they are. And I know each one of us kneeling here before you each one individually has needs. And I just pray that you would meet those needs according to your unfailing wisdom. Pray for those who are sick, that are recovering from illness, that are in the midst of illness right now. I pray that you would comfort them and bring healing to them. I want to also lift up Pastor as he's traveling. Keep them safe, I pray. And we just come and ask all these things now in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Poverty is relative. A group of people went on a mission trip to the Caribbean, and they were kind of shocked at the poverty in one of the cities, but then they went out into the country where the immigration workers worked in the plantations, and the shacks were lined up like 3 feet apart, and the living conditions there were really poor. Well, as they saw this poverty, they left most of their possessions there when they left to come back to their home. Jesus was well acquainted with poverty. The Bible makes an interesting statement in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Poverty is relative. Here in America, most of the people we consider to be poor are wealthy compared to a lot of the people in other parts of the world. Various reasons why people are in poverty. Maybe they lost their job because of technology. Maybe there was a slowdown in that particular type of business. Maybe some people don't make much of an effort to find a job, and maybe some people use poor management with the things that they have. Jesus can help us with stewardship in our homes and in our bodies. And if we let him help us, we can prosper personally as well as help prosper God's work. Our offering this morning is for our local church budget. Have the deacons come forward. Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings to you. Be with especially the offering today as it goes to help with the work here in our church, and help us that we'll be good stewards of not only our money, but of our bodies and our homes. We ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. We're going to sing a Swahili song, but it's the hymn in your hymnals, number 430, Joy By and By. Yeah, you're going to learn some Swahili words today. Joy is furaha in Swahili. So if you hear furaha, just know it means joy.
Wavunaji watafurahi pale watakaporudi wakialeta mavuno hata Yerusalemu. Furaha wataipata, furaha hata milele, furaha wataipata wakati wa mavuno. Na siku ile tutaimba kumshukuru na kumsifu Bwana Yesu jumbe wetu kule Yerusalemu. Furaha wataipata, furaha hata milele, furaha wataipata wakati wa mavuno. Wavunaji watafurahi makaoni mwa milele, yaliyowekwa tayari kule Yerusalemu. Furaha wataipata, furaha hata milele, furaha wataipata wakati wa mavuno. Furaha wataipata, furaha hata milele, furaha wataipata wakati wa mavuno.
Won't heaven be neat to be able to have a choir with hundreds of different voices, different languages joining together? Well, our scripture reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, if you want to join me there in your Bible. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, you know that I am still weak, a feeble human being. But Lord, I claim the promise of Philippians 4:13 and 14 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. May the Holy Spirit be heard, and may each person make that decision today for Christ. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Several months ago now, there was a board meeting, and we were discussing a couple things, and one of them, I asked, what is the mission of the church? Do we have a mission? And then, I don't see where Mrs. Marching... Oh, there she is. Ashlyn, now helping her out with the bulletin as well. She probably says the same thing, or maybe she should as well. Well, look at your bulletin. And I have to say, I felt like a fool that Sunday morning... that the mission of our church is printed right on the bulletin. Now, I mentioned this last time I preached. I believe it was the last time I preached here. When we were going through the series before the evangelistic series that we did, Living with Hope. I pointed again to this mission statement here, which says, to have a world-impacting local presence that reflects the mission of Revelation 14, urging
Are you aware,
there we go,
that we have a message? You come to this church. Some of you, hopefully all of you, have accepted Jesus Christ. You have a message to share through the Scriptures. There was a man, probably one of the more famous men, messengers, who Jesus dearly loved and talked about in the 11th chapter of Matthew. And if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist and was saddened that one of the best messengers that he had was silenced. And as a multitude comes, they hear Jesus speaking, and he says, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what ye went out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." He's quoting Malachi 3, verse 1. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come." This was Elijah, he said. For those that may not know your Bible as well, Elijah was another great messenger of the Lord. Another fine messenger. And what did he do? But he defied the apostate Israel and stood up for God as one person against 400 or 450, I forget which number it was, prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and stood for Jesus Christ. And was victorious, if I may add. Do you have a message to share? Are you committed to the message as John the Baptist was? As Elijah was? Hear what John the Baptist said when he saw Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them in verse 7 of chapter 3, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also, the axe is laid unto the roots of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. You have a message, and we need to proclaim that message. As John the Baptist said to those religious leaders of the time, those who we would say today are Christians, he may be saying it to you. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet to repentance. You have a message, be committed to it. It's not easy. It's not easy to proclaim the message all the time. Sometimes it is easy, as Amari mentioned last week. Even though I wasn't here, I listened to his sermon on the threeangels.org. If you miss a week, you can find the sermons there. He said it's easy to talk about Jesus around Christmas time. Certain events, it's easy to talk about Jesus because people are wondering, where was God in this event? So it makes it easy to share Jesus. But it is not always easy to share Jesus. And maybe you have ran into that already. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it was in the family. But are you willing to be committed to the message? To proclaim the message? The title of the sermon is Get Into the Ark. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. God looks down upon his creation. And he says these words in verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then he gives the conditions. No, Moses, as he's writing in Genesis here, he says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. I'd like to speak on this text. Some people like to look at this text and show that the sons of God were angels. That angels came down and impregnated the daughters of men. And there became this super being race. How could that be? At the very next text, he says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." What this is basically talking about, see, is this one's okay. What this is basically talking about is those that are with God are referred to as the sons of God. They are like God. They have the image of God in them. But the daughters of men, the daughters of feeble human beings that were in contrast to God, these men found attractive. And so you have the spirit and the flesh coming together, not as in a divine spirit being, but the holiness. It'd be like a Christian and a heathen coming together in marriage. One that proclaimed God and one that denied God. And as we most know, in these certain circumstances, most of the time, the one who is true to God starts to wane in his relationship with God and starts to stray from God to the point where he denies God. We have this example with Solomon, who is the wisest of them all. Yet even with the wisdom that God had given him, he chose to marry heathen women. And we see his path and how he started worshiping idols and how he started turning away from God and gave a deaf ear to God and started listening to those that don't speak, that do not breathe. How often do we, when we are confronted in the message that we have to share, that we start to stray from God when we are met with confrontation? And we feel as though maybe the message isn't that worth it. Somebody else will preach the message. Somebody else will proclaim the message. I don't have to do it. I'll take the easy road. Which the easy road is often the way out. Is it not? For we often want the wide path instead of the narrow path that leads to God. We want the fun things that just kind of dull our mind and gets our mind off the various serious things of life. And this is what we want to do. This is where we want to focus. We don't want to proclaim the message. We want to just sit in front of a TV and watch a movie. We don't want to talk about Jesus. We'd rather talk about something that everybody else is talking about. But here you have God. He looks down and he sees that the wickedness of men was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just every other moment, but continually. And it repented, it grieved the Lord. It made him sad that his creation was starting to stray away from him. instead of opening their Bible, they turned on the TV. Instead of opening their Bible, they decided to watch whatever it may be. I want to do fun things that just occupy time, then delve into serious matters, or to share serious matters. And it grieved him that he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Do you understand that it grieved his heart? The creator of the earth saddened that his creation, who as the special music proclaimed the joy by and by, only grew sadder and sadder and more miserable and more miserable. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, whom from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But then the next verse says, but. When God is about to wipe humanity off from the face of the earth, but. When things look so grim that there is nothing positive in the world that you can see, but. When you are so heavy laden by the burdens that seems to weigh you down, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had found favor in the sight of the Lord. These are the generations that he goes on, and he starts to interact in verse 14 with Noah. And he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. He has a message to share now. There is a flood coming. Build an ark. And we get that he preached 120 years from verse 3. He preached 120 years to these people. 120 years. If somebody is 120 years old right now, stand up. There's nobody that's lived that long here. And he preached 120 years. As one preacher said, one of the longest evangelistic series. Although, as I said once, apart from the evangelistic series that Christ is holding on now for your heart. But for this time, it was an 120-year evangelistic series to get into the ark. And the sad thing, as I was pondering over this story, because as in Bible memorization class, we're going through Hebrews 11, and I entered in starting in verse 15. And as I said before, I wanted to do the whole entire chapter. So I started going into the whole entire chapter. I started with verse 1. And as I was going down, I got to verse 7, which was the scripture reading. By faith, and this is in the King James, that was in the New King James. This is in the King James. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He was by faith warned by God of things not seen as yet. He didn't see a flood. He didn't see an ark. But he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I started thinking about Noah. How hard would it be to preach a message, get into this ark, there is a flood coming, when the world has never ever seen a flood? And who knows if they've ever seen an ark? Because it sounds like God had to give him the interactions of how to make it. Make it of gopher wood. Make rooms in it. But here is this ark that he makes. And the other thing about this story, Noah and his sons were not the only ones building the ark. So as he's preaching, not only getting up and saying there is going to be a flood, you need to repent, as most likely as John the Baptist was preaching about repent, you need to bring forth fruit that meets with repentance. You need to come to Jesus. You need to make good choices, as my son would say. And stop doing naughty things. And that comes from a 4-year-old. And here Noah is moved by the grace of God to preach there is a flood. And yet, he gets people. He hires people to build an ark. And this thought came to my mind by the Holy Spirit. It is easier to get people to build an ark than to get into the ark. Did you hear that? It is easier to get people to build an ark. It is easier for you to read the Bible, to study the Bible on your own, than to proclaim the message that's in it. It's easier to come to church and sit in a pew and listen to the preacher or listen to the pastor instead of going out and proclaiming the message that God has given you. It is easier to be in the background than to be moved by the Holy Spirit and be in the front. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Why? Because God had a message for him. But yet, what are we doing with the message that we have been given? The three angels' message. What have we been given with the great commission of go teach other nations, make disciples of other nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them in all things? What are we doing with that, the gospel commission? We have a message. But is it sometimes that we are lacking the faith, the commitment to proclaim this message? I'm speaking to myself as well. Because the church today is not as committed as it once was. Don't see Paula here. But last week, she mentioned about the reformers. And she mentioned a quote from Maranatha. Now, I didn't take time to memorize it. I didn't take time to get it. But in this text, it says that Satan will use subtle ways to take you away from what you are to do. That's the way that I interpret it. And I think it's true, because if you look at scriptures, the scriptures talk about how Satan, in the great controversy, is trying to quiet you. He doesn't want you to speak. He doesn't want you to share about Jesus. He doesn't want you to tell people about the three angels' message. He will bring every confrontation that he can to you. How do you think Noah felt after he got off the ark, after the flood? When he looked around and saw only his family. Let that sink in. He only saw his family. All the people he preached to for 120 years perished in the flood. Now, we don't have a physical ark to get into. But there is a type of ark that as Christians we are called to come to. And that is the cross. Jesus says that we should carry our crosses. Are you carrying your cross? Are you bearing the testimony of Jesus Christ? Are you proclaiming the three angels' message? Are you proclaiming the message that Jesus is coming and that we need to get ready? We need to get ready. There is a time to get ready, and it is slipping by the minute. Every minute that goes by is slipping a chance for someone to hear the gospel, someone to hear the three angels' message. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, it says, knowing this verse, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So there's nothing really need to panic. There's no sense of hurry. Just sit in the pews. Read your Bible for leisure time. Study it, yes. But don't bother taking the time to tell your coworker. Don't bother taking time to tell your family. Don't bother talking about it to a neighbor. Everything is just going on as it will. But as Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, giving into marriage. And as I spoke last time, business as usual. It's very easy to look at the world at some times and think, you know what? Yeah, there's bad things that happen in the world. There's violence. But you know what? It's not here. It hasn't affected me. I still have a house. I could still live life as usual. Because once I turn off the television and forget about the news, forget about what's happening in this world, I can escape from it. But one thing I'll tell you that you cannot escape from is the great controversy. You can run and you can hide, but there is still a great controversy between Christ and Satan. You can't hide from that. And part of this great controversy is that we are all messengers, given the gospel commission, given the three angels' message to share. As Peter continues, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." They were ignorant that a flood actually happened. How many of us are ignorant that Jesus is coming again? "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." He's talking about the second coming. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now don't get confused over that text. It's a literature advice. It's a metaphorical to show of God's greatness. We focus on that text. But the next text, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." And what promise is that? That he is coming again. "As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." John the Baptist, Elijah, Noah, and it is our message today too. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So, it's not business as usual. We can't just be Laodicea. We need to have a fire burn in us before the fire comes and burns all of us, the ungodly. Some of you may be saying, "I can't do it. I've tried. I don't have any strength don't know how I'm going to proclaim this message. I'll tell you what. 2 weeks ago, I was not here because I had the flu. And I was the weakest I could ever be. And maybe some of you have experienced the flu this season. You know how weak it can make you. And it doesn't just go away after that day. I'm still weak from it. But you know what? God has given me strength. It says, right before the Gospel Commission, it says, Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It also said, he said in John 14:13, he says, whatever you ask of me in my name, I will give it. If you need strength, if you need courage, he will give it. And then Ephesians 2:8, through the messenger Paul, says, through grace we've been saved by faith. Not by works of our own, lest that we should boast. It is by the power of God that we are able to share the message. It wasn't Noah's strength that preached 120 years. It wasn't Noah's strength that got on the boat, on the ark. Because if you remember the scripture text, it says, by faith, Noah. So if you think you can't do it, you're right. You can't. It's by the power of God that you are able to do it. The gift of grace through faith that you will be able to do it. And the text that we are going over now, and some of you that are in the class, maybe you're here, maybe you're not. Comes to a point in Hebrews 11 where he says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Did you hear that? Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. If we are committed to sharing the message, if we are committed Christians to the gospel commission, to the three angels' message, to sharing Jesus Christ in His second coming, we will have no part in the second death, the second resurrection. But listen to this. My friends, and brothers and sisters. We will be there at the trump of God in the first resurrection. Either it be calling us out of the grave or being there called to meet Him in the air. I don't want to be in that second resurrection. I want to be in that first resurrection when Jesus comes at the time that He is appointed. I want to be in that resurrection. Do you want to be in that resurrection? Do you want to be committed to spread the gospel? It's not going to be easy. Some may scoff at you if they haven't already. But I tell you what, Jesus is softly and tenderly calling, O sinner, come home. We're going to sing the two verses. And then I'm going to share, as the music continues to play, an appeal. How committed are you? As He is calling you.
This is between you and God. have chosen, Jesus, I want you to raise your hand to be committed to the gospel, to be committed to preaching and proclaiming Jesus to come again. Again, this is between God and you. As we continue, if you still want to give your life to Jesus through baptism, come forward during that time. Jesus Christ. Amen.